Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and I'm coming to you with a special announcement. I want to talk to you about the fall classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute. This fall, we will be offering Defending the Christian Faith on Monday evenings, American Sign Language on Monday evenings, Financial Peace on Monday evenings. On Tuesday, we will have Biblical Counseling, where we teach people how to use the Bible to counsel others. And then we have a special class coming up on Thursdays, and it will begin in October, dealing with Black Hebrews, something that is happening in our communities today that we want to be aware of. So come and join us here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute. Take a class. For more information, you can call us at 412-242-3255. For more information, you can call us at 412-242-3255. God bless you as you listen this evening.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today we will continue our series titled The Feasts of Israel with the first half of the Feast of Trumpets. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Feast of Trumpets.
And this morning we are going to look at the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah. And this is found in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 23, and also in Numbers chapter 29. And we'll be bouncing back between both of those scriptures. But let's begin in Leviticus 23 as we look at the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets. All right. Leviticus 23 and verse 23. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing trumpets and holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The feast of trumpets. Now, let me say something about this word feast. Because when we think of feast, we think of going to the Golden Corral and loading our plate up with fried chicken and baked chicken and ribs and all kind of vegetables, and then going back for a smorgasbord of desserts. So if that's the idea when we look at these particular feasts in the Old Testament, if that's the idea you have in mind when we say the word feast, then you have the wrong idea. Actually, the word comes from the Hebrew word moed, and it means God's appointed days, or God's appointed holy days. And so as we think of these feasts, Let's put aside the concept of sitting down at a table with a bunch of food, and let us go and look at days that God has set apart in order for us to reverence and holy him, make him holy. That is the concept behind the word feast. This morning we want to look at the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the Jewish New Year, and actually their New Year started last month. I should have preached this message last month, but it was during our missions conference, so I didn't get a chance to preach it, and so I picked up on the other two feasts, but we should have preached this last month because that was the beginning of the Jewish civil New Year, and they began it on the blowing of the Feast of Trumpets. Now, the other thing that we want to get you in the right mind frame for and conceptualize is this whole idea of a trumpet. You see there that is actually a ram's horn. That is called a shofar. And what the Bible in the Old Testament, when it talks about trumpet or blowing the trumpet, actually is talking about the shofar, which was a ram's horn that they blew, and that was the sounding of the trumpet. I was going to get a ram's horn, a shofar, and bring it this morning, and waited too late in the week, and I started calling around on Friday to see if I could get a over in Squirrel Hill. There was a couple stores over there that had them, and I was going to have one for us this morning. But as you can imagine, Friday was in what we talked about last week. Remember we talked about last week? Sukkot, the Feast of Booths. Well, wouldn't you know it, that was the last day of the Feast of Booths. So guess what? It was a Sabbath day, and guess what? All the stores in Squirrel Hill were closed. So I said, I get one on Saturday. Well, no, you're not going to get one on Saturday because that is the traditional Sabbath day. So they told me to come at 10 o'clock this morning, and I could probably get one. And I said, well, that's not going to work. So, you know, it's like I remember we had a guy that came, Dr. L. Reichman, and he was talking about how that the Jewish people don't celebrate Christmas because it's a Christian holiday. He said, but his dad owned a toy store, and that they sold a bunch of toys during Christmas. And even though they didn't celebrate Christmas, on Christmas morning, they all sat around the table and sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus." So we see that I wasn't able to get a shofar, but I'm going to get one. Yeah, I'm going to get me a shofar. But that's the shofar. That's what they blew to recognize these days. Now, if you go to the next slide, what we've been doing is that we've been looking at the word holy, because these feasts were holy convocations. They were feasts that were set apart to God and that were to be a reminder to the people of his holiness and how they were to respond to his holiness. So we've taken the word holy, and we said that the H stands for honor. What occasion does it honor? The O is for observance. What is or how is it observed? The L is for lesson. What lesson can be learned? And then the Y is for Yeshua, and that's the Hebrew for Jesus, Yeshua. How does it point to Jesus? So that's where we are as we look at the Feast of Trumpets. So let's look at honor. What does this blowing of the trumpets, what does it honor? This is the beginning of the Jewish civil calendar. It is 10 days of spiritual preparation for the Jewish New Year, which started with Rosh Hashanah. That word Rosh means head, and Hashanah means month or year. Head of the year, Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. Now, it was started on the seventh month in the first day. And one of these Sundays, I'm going to come in and I'm going to do a teaching on the Jewish calendar because this is a powerful concept. So even though it says it's on the seventh day of the month, that the Jewish people had two calendars. They had the civil calendar, and then they had the sacred calendar. And so that's why, even though this is the head of the new year, it's the head of the new year on the civil calendar and not the sacred calendar. It's the seventh month on the sacred calendar, all right? So it began on the seventh month, the first day, and it ended. Now, this is very important. You got to get this. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Yom Kippur. Anybody remember what that means? Day of what? Day of Atonement. Amen. Amen. All right. Day of Atonement. So from the blowing of the trumpets to Yom Kippur was 10 days, and at the beginning of the new year, where they prepared themselves to serve the Lord. Now, this day, the Feast of Trumpets, and I'm going to explain all this. This is a powerful concept, man. I tell you what, God has just been blessing my socks off with this study. Actually, this Feast of Trumpets was also known by other names. And we're gonna break it down. This stuff is good, man. For me anyways, I enjoyed it. But Yom Teruah, which was from Deuteronomy 29:1, which meant a day of blowing the trumpets. So that was another name for it. Another name was the hidden day. Another name was the opening of the books. And another name was the Day of Judgment. So the Jewish people had all these names for the feast of trumpets.
We would like to take a short break. When the Lord gave the feasts in Leviticus 23, they were for more than just the Israelites to observe at that time. While we are not commanded to keep the feasts and celebrating them is not necessary for salvation, during our next Facebook Live event, Dr. William R. Glaze will show how understanding the feasts will give us a deeper appreciation for this great salvation we have in Jesus Christ and how the work of Christ is deeply rooted in these Old Testament celebrations. Tune in to Anchored in Jesus Facebook Live event Tuesday, September 18th at 7:30 p.m. You will have an opportunity to ask questions about Dr. Glaze's series, The Feasts of Israel. Looking forward to seeing you at facebook.com/ Anchored in Jesus Ministries. We will return now to the message already in progress.
So that's what it honors. It honors that beginning of the Jewish New Year and entering into those 10 days up to Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. Now, how is it observed? Okay, and we've been looking at the period, the purpose, and the practice. All right? The period was, as I've already said, for 10 days. It began on the first day of the seventh month, and it lasted on the 10th day of the seventh month. You will find that in Numbers chapter 29, verse 1 and verse 7. What was the purpose for the feast? Well, in Leviticus 23, since we're already there, look what it says in verse 24. What was the purpose of this feast? It was to speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing trumpets. So it was a memorial. They were to remember some things. Now, there's a lot of controversy as to what specifically they were to remember. Some people said that when God gave the law to Moses that they blew the trumpets, and so it was to be a reminder of when God gave the law. And others say that, well, actually, it's a reminder of creation and how that our God is a great God who created the universe. So there seems to be some confusion around the memorial part of it. But the key thing that we want to remember, the purpose of this Feast of Trumpets, is that it was a time of self-examination. For 10 days, they were to examine themselves in preparation for Yom Kippur. Now, we're going to go back. Remember we said, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And remember how when I talked about Yom Kippur, I talked about how the priest had to bathe before he could even go into the Holy of Holies. He had to change his garments. There were priestly garments that he would wear, but on the Day of Atonement, he had to change his garments and just go in with white linen as he stood before the Lord on Yom Kippur. And so Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, was so powerful. It was such a important, it was such a sacred day on the calendar of the Jewish people that God said on the first day of the month, you shall blow trumpets and then you shall take 10 days to prepare for Yom Kippur. And so it was a time of preparation for Yom Kippur. What was the practice during the feast? The first day was a Sabbath and they were to do no work. They were to close all the stores down and not be open so Pastor Glaze could buy a shofar. They were to do no work. They were to blow the trumpets, that when the day began, they would blow the trumpets 100 times. They would blow the shofar 100 times. Now, this is deep. Guess what? When they blew the 100th time, you know that was called? Somebody said it. The last trump. Now we read that. Oh, this, I told you this stuff is good, man. So let me save that till a little later. The last trump, when they blew it the 100th time, that was called the last trump. And so they were to blow the trumpet 100 times. Well, see, y'all should have known. I got it right there in my notes, man. I forgot that I put it in the notes. Everybody should have said that. I was impressed that one person knew it. Everybody should have been hollering that out. They were to make an offering to the Lord, Leviticus 23, verse 25. Now, what was this offering? Let's go back to the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers, we see that the offering was that they were to make. Numbers chapter 29. Numbers chapter 29 and verses 2. Let's start reading in verse 2. Let's go back to verse 1. And in the seventh month on the what? First day. Well, where do we read that before? In Leviticus, right? On the seventh month, the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you. And you shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord, one young bullock, one ram, and seven lambs of the first year without blemish. So they were to bring a bullock, a ram, and seven lambs. And also, in addition, they were to have their meal offering shall be mixed with flour, with oil, 3/10 part of a bullock and 1/10 part of a ram and 1/10 part of a lamb throughout the seven lambs. They were to mix this in their offering. And one kid of the goats for a sin offering to make atonement for you. So they were to have two types of offerings, a burnt offering, and the burnt offering would be when they would take the animal and put the animal on the altar and then burn it up. And then they were to offer a sin offering, which would be to cover their sins. So they were to offer offerings on the first day of the Feast of Trumpets, all right? Now, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and, in the Hebrew, the Feast of Trumpets is called Yom Teruah, and Yom Kippur, if you'll put up that next slide. Okay, next one. Okay, did I have a little diagram, one with a diagram? There you go, right there. All right, the fall feast. All right, we've already looked at Yom Kippur, and we've looked at Sukkot. Okay, so let's go back. Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the seventh month. Yom Kippur, the 10th day of the seventh month. And Sukkot, the 15th day of the seventh month. Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, blew. And there's 10 days until Yom Kippur. You know what these 10 days are called? The 10 days of awe. The 10 days of awe. And where do we get this concept of the 10 days of awe? It's because, like I said, Yom Kippur was the most sacred, the most holy day on the Jewish calendar, and the people were to prepare themselves for this. And so there was to be a time of preparation to get ready for Yom Kippur. Now, if you go back to one of those previous slides, all right, next one. Okay, so if we look at these three feasts, we see that Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, was for repentance. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, was for redemption. And Sukkot, or the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, was for rejoicing. Now, as we think about that, during these 10 days of awe, the people were to examine themselves. They were, you know, as a matter of fact, the idea, and according to some rabbinical teachings, that on the Feast of Trumpets, when the trumpet blew 100 times, that if you were near the city of Jerusalem, that you had to rush to get inside the gates before it stopped. And then you were in there for 10 days, and you were repenting, and you were examining yourself, and you were confessing to the Lord. And so as we look at this 10 days of awe, what does that mean? That means that as Christians, there ought to be some soul searching. That we ought to begin to examine ourselves and look at our life in light of God's presence and reflect on who we are and who he is. And look at Psalm 139. Turn to Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, somebody said, what verse? I'll tell you when I get there. Psalm 139, verse 23. Psalm 139, verse 23. During these 10 days of awe, the attitude was, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way that's everlasting. Lord, look at my life. Lord, look at my heart. Lord, search me out and know me, because when I stand before you on the Day of Atonement, God, I want to be right. I want my heart to be right before you. And there's another significance to this too. The other thing was that it was said that on the Day of Atonement that there was a book of life. and that those who came before the Lord and were right before him, that he would put their name in the book for another year. And they wanted their name to be in the book, so they would use that time to confess and repent. And this is, again, this is according to Jewish tradition, that if they felt that they had done everything that they needed to do as far as confessing and repenting, that God would put their name in the book for another year. And as we think about our lives, you know, I thank God that we have salvation. And I thank God that we have salvation that we are kept by the power of God, and that God puts our name in the book, and that he's not going to take it out. Man, what to God, man, maybe we should have something where we were trembling and fearing about our salvation, because I think that sometimes we take our salvation a little light. We take our salvation a little haphazardly. But these folks during this 10 days of awe, they wanted to make sure in every way they were right with God. So when it came to Yom Kippur, that they were in that right relationship. I put together some things, and I know I've used this before, but when it comes time to do a self-examination, that we need to examine ourselves. We need to see this 10 days of awe as being a lesson for all of us, where we look at our own lives and we say, search me, O Lord, and know me, try me, and know my thoughts, know my heart, Lord. And as we look at this, several areas that we can look at devotionally, as we are in this 10 days of awe for us, the spiritual awe, to ask the question, have you spent regular time with God in the Bible, reading, prayer, and worship? Have you examined yourself? If you look back over the last week or two, how much time have you spent in the Word? How much time have you spent on your face in prayer? How much time have you spent worshiping God? I'm not just talking about coming to the sanctuary. You know, remember a couple of weeks ago I was teaching and I said there's a difference between praise and worship. Praise is what we do. Worship is how we are. That praise comes out of a heart of worship. That your heart has to be in worship, because a lot of people can praise and their praise is not connected with their worship, because all they're doing is just a bunch of outward motions and a bunch of things outside. But when your praise is connected with your worship, then true praise comes out of your worship. Are you worshiping God? Not when you get here on Sunday morning. You know, I think it's a sad testimony if we have to wait till Sunday morning before we come to church to worship. Man, you should be worshiping all week. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That there should be worship 7 days a week in your life. That when you're riding on the bus to work, somebody ought to be so filled with worship that they just shout out, oh, the Lord is good. And somebody across the road says, and his mercy endures forever. That you got worship just flowing out of you. And so we ask the question, you know, when we come for these 10 days of awe, this time when we get right, have you spent time in worship? Second, move to family. And here, you know, a lot of us, I'll throw myself in here, you know, have fallen short. But, you know, we got to do this self-examination, right? Is there any unresolved conflict between you and your spouse or between anybody, you and your family? What, Lord, search me, know my heart, try me, know my ways. Have you neglected your spouse or family? Have you spent time in prayer and devotion with your spouse? Have you spent quality time cultivating your marriage?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Feast of Trumpets from our series, The Feasts of Israel. If you would like to request an audio copy of or the notes of today's message, The Feast of Trumpets, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feast of Trumpets. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feast of Trumpets. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.